Yes, let's turn now to the question of damages for one party who backs out of the agreement. So, we know our Gemara, right? The Gemara distinguishes between the case of halchu lo halchu. How does Tosfos read the basis for liability in the case of the Baal HaBayis who breaches the agreement and backs out? So the Baal HaBayis hires Poalim. He says, Yair, I want you to paint my house. And then he calls up Yair a little bit later and he says, Yair, actually, I don't need you. Stay home. So the Baal HaBayis is Chozer. The Gemara says, if Yair started traveling already and I back out, then I'm chayev to pay him if he can't mitigate. Okay, so why am I chayev to pay Yair, according to Tosfos? What's the basis for liability?
Garmi.
Excellent. Kaimel Kramer, Dudan, Dina, Degarmi. Yes, Tosfos' position, I involve my base. It's a kind of a nezek. So what's the nezek, according to Tosfos? How's I damaging you?
You caused me to not get a job.
That's right. I caused you to not get a job. Now, of course, if you could still get a job with my chazara, have I harmed you?
No, because then you haven't caused me to not get a job.
Exactly. Like we just saw, actually, and that was very clear in the formulation of the... Who was it who had that very nice formulation? That so long as you can mitigate, you weren't harmed.
That was the Nesivos we just saw.
That was the Nesivos' formulation. Yeah. Very good. That's exactly right. And then, so that's one consideration, right? If you can mitigate, you weren't harmed. Another consideration, what's another way of saying, what's another test that you have to apply in order to see if there was Nezek of Garmi? It's clear in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Lamed Gimel.
Could you have gone to work otherwise?
Yes. Beforehand. The counterfactual test, would you have been hired by somebody else? Would you have found employment that I basically deprived you of by promising to employ you, right? So what were your, not what are your present alternative possibilities, but what were your counterfactual alternative possibilities of employment when I hired you? See that here?
I mean, they're sound like one of the same standard. Not that they're not literally the same, but legally they're the same, right? Conceptually.
Trying to figure out whether you were harmed.
Right. Was I deprived of an opportunity? So a way to not be deprived of an opportunity is to have had an opportunity before or now.
100%. These are two applications of a commitment to the Mechai being Garmi.
Right.
Right? So to assess whether you were harmed, you have to see your present possibilities, your present alternatives, and your counterfactual alternatives at the time. So if there was no other employer available, I have a monopoly in employment in the town. I feel like it's sometimes called a monopsony or something. Anybody know? If you're like the only employer in town. Gabe, isn't there a technical term if you're the only employer somewhere?
I'm not familiar with it.
All right. All those years at Columbia for naught. Just kidding, Gabe. There's some technical term. I feel like it's a monopsony. Anybody want to Google that?
It's a term.
It's a monopsony.
It's a marketing condition in which there is only one buyer.
Only one buyer. So I guess you're the only buyer of labor.
Right.
Maybe that's right. So you're the only employer.
The monopsony also is that it's like a classic theoretical example of the mining town.
Well,
it's a subset of the monopoly, which is the one seller.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I guess you're a buyer of work.
Right. The mining town is like a classic example of monopsony.
Because there's only one employer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a monopoly.
It's a reverse monopoly.
But I'm saying you're talking about is a monopoly.
No.
No, monopsony.
A monopsony because there's only one purchaser of labor.
Are there two versions of the word monopsony? Is what Yoni said, and a monopsony with an N is what
we're talking about.
What's that, Gabe?
There are two like very similar terms, one with an M and one with an N. Monopsony with an M is if there's only one buyer, and with an N is if there's only one employer.
Oh, yeah?
You need to get back
okay.
to the Columbia comment.
Wow.
Because it was all worth it now.
Okay, good. Just go off, Gabe.
Monopsony is not coming up on my...
Yeah, I don't see that one.
Yeah. Gabe, I think you're making stuff up.
Right, I mean, it's a Cleveland thing.
Right.
Just kidding, Gabe. Okay, so good. So let's say you're the only employer in town. And so I promised to employ you, but nobody else will get to employ you. So there's no nezek, right? Because you weren't going to go anywhere anyway. Let me make another point. Suppose I offer to hire Yair for $100 an hour. Yair had an alternative offer from Yoni, who is going to hire him at $90 an hour. And then I breach. Okay? And I mess Yair over. How much is the nezek?
It was 90.
It's 90, right? Meaning, not only do we have to test to determine whether there's nezek, not only in determining whether there is liability do we have to apply the counterfactual test, we also have to apply the counterfactual test to determine the quantity, the scope of liability. How much are you actually liable for? Right? I think the Ramban is actually quite explicit about this. So all this is in Tosfos. How does Tosfos read this into the Gemara? What does he read this into? Well, which line in the Gemara? Holchu lo holchu. And that's a proxy for whether they could have found, they still can find employment, etc., etc. Fine. Now notice the Ramban, he obviously has that different approach. The Ramban thinks that, you know, we have to distinguish between liability post-Kinyan, which then is collecting under a theory of contract, let's say closer to the Peter Benson idea, which we'll still have to discuss. But the idea there being that after Kinyan, so then he already acquires, and pre-Kinyan, well, what's the basis of liability pre-Kinyan for the Ramban? So notice the Ramban doesn't say Dina de Garmi. Davar Ha'aved. Right? The Ramban's phrase, he says, I agree with Tosfos, but only pre-Kinyan. Right? Ani mode lo bedin zeh, says the Ramban. Sorry, this is page 9. She'im hayu yecholim lahaskir atlan betchilas hayom o me'emesh, ve'ikvan ad shah she'enu motzim lahaskir v'aday nosim lem scharan, tahavu le ledidhu ki davar ha'aved. So Ramban says, I acknowledge Tosfos. But notice he switches the language from Dina de Garmi to Davar Ha'aved. Now, do any of you offhand think that switch in language is significant?
I mean, he's switching language. Does he ever say Dina de Garmi anywhere else? Like, is it clear that he is switching, like, deliberately?
What?
Is it clear that he is deliberately switching language?
As opposed to just falling into...
It's just like how it was referring to Dina de Garmi. I mean, he doesn't, like, say Dina de Garmi beforehand and then switch it. And no point
does he ever say the word Dina de Garmi that suggests that he
might be intentional. Right, so maybe he's just dealing with a different... So explaining why it's not Dina de Garmi, because it's
not it could be. I actually am not... I don't disagree with that. We'll see why I want to point out. Rabbi Akiva Eiger makes a big deal of that switch in formulation. He thinks, it's very controversial, I think, that actually Tosfos and the Ramban disagree about this tort-based liability. For Tosfos, it's a liability under Dina de Garmi, and it's going to be confined by certain rules of Dina de Garmi. He thinks the Ramban's Davar Ha'aved is really a separate principle, a separate basis for liability. So we'll talk about that in a second. Okay. Now, good. Now, what is this idea of Davar Ha'aved? Where does it come up in the Sugya? Where does Davar Ha'aved come up in the Sugya? Like, where's the Ramban getting that phrase from?
Where the poel is chozer.
Exactly.
If it's against Davar Ha'aved, he's responsible to make sure that there's no
good. Damage. It comes up in the Mishnah, right? I actually put this on the Maror Makomo sheet just a lot later on. It comes. I put on the Maror Makomo sheet at the very end here on page. Here, page 15. Just if you want to look there, you can just look in the Mishnah itself and I in Hamad Beis. Sachar sachamor v'sakadr lahavi. Preparin bechalilim lekalo lemeis upolim lahalos pishtano min amishra. So you hire workers to do these emergent or immediately required services. Vechol davar sheavad or davar sheoved vechazu behem. Then sochale numatan. If you hired workers for something that's a davar aved, something that's going to be an irreparable loss. So, like, you need somebody to eulogize a mace. You need somebody to play your child's wedding that night. You need somebody to take the pishtan out of the mishra. Right? So, if it's a davar ha'aved, then you have this special license to deceive the worker and hire other workers at his expense, stuff like that. So that's where the idea of Devar Avid comes from. And it does express that there's some liability for the Poel in cases where he's closer to Devar Avid. Now, let me just ask you, well, I guess we could hold, we'll get to Rabbi Akiva Eiger in a second, but if Devar Avid is not Garmi, what do you think it is? If it's not based off the pure principles of tort liability.
Something of Shomrim Din?
Okay, what's a Shomrim Din?
Well, definitely within like the thing, within when the Poalim are working for the employer, so in some ways they become like Shomrim over the potential law.
Let's say they don't show up. Let's say they don't even show up.
So then we think that's like part of like the Rishon, like, so yeah, like what point do they become responsible?
But it sounds like definitely the Ramban is applying Devar Avid to the case of the Balabayas breaches.
Yeah, so in some ways you'd argue that he becomes like a, if you think there's a distinction, you argue that he's like a Shomer on their
but notice
for employment today.
Okay.
I hear a suggestion which I can
go for it, Gabe.
Your suggestion was that perhaps this is still damages within a contract framework. It's just a weaker form of the contract because it's purely a verbal agreement, which has some binding nature, but not as complete of a binding nature as post-Kinyan.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think Devar Avid might be something, a special breed of Nezek that's specific to contracts, halachic contracts. It's not going to be the same basis of liability as post-Kinyan in this kind of Peter Benson idea, that the article that we had about that once there's a Kinyan, it's as if you transferred the entitlement of the contract. It's not going to be that because there's no Kinyan yet. But it's something weaker. It's not tort, but it's not like a... not like a transferring of a good. It's not like a matana that now is in your rishus. So what is it? So Gabe, do you want to put? You want to try to give us a little? I think you're right structurally. I think you and Nikki are right structurally. But what might it be in this in-between ground and like a quasi contract principle, but not quite a tort principle? Gabe, or anybody else.
I want to hand over the floor to Yakir if Ami's not taking up his time, because I think he had an articulation. I don't
want to. Let's hear Yakir. Are you able to weigh in, or are both your hands occupied with feeding Ami?
Nah, Ami's napping now. I'm good.
Wow. This guy lives the life.
Tom
El Chaim Zachu, Vashena Meshubachas.
He's sleeping and living in New Haven. What's better?
Sorry. This is nothing else to do. What's that, Yakir? Do you have a deeper formulation?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would say maybe one paradigm we'd want to look at is something like a promissory estoppel. Anybody familiar with promissory estoppels?
Comes up in that article.
Well,
it comes up in the bench.
Yeah, but I'll send out a short reading on promissory estoppel. But it's a similar idea, which basically says that even if there's no real contract yet, in cases where you rely on my offer to your detriment, then we enforce it as if there's some sort of contract there. It's an interesting idea. It's somewhere in between tort and like this idea of transfer of entitlement. But the idea is that sometimes that if by relying on me, you're going to incur some sort of loss, we take that to be a reason to enforce some sort of liability as if there were a contract in place. Now, I don't think that's totally the idea we're looking for. It's a nearby idea. I would say even that maybe there's like an economic consideration here of that we want to incentivize, because of this idea of promissory estoppel, we want to deter people from backing out of agreements like this. Right? So there's some sort of artificially imposed liability given the fact that, yes, there was some sort of verbal agreement. There's not quite a Kinyan. There's not quite Nezek, necessarily. We'll see that. But still, in order to make it harder for people to back out, we impose this kind of knas for backing out even before a misakinian is performed. Well, I'll try to give a better articulation of what that is. Does anybody have at least traction on this kind of general picture of what it might be? Yeah? Yoni?
Yeah, I think it's like, I think all these terms are like a little bit vague between, you have like Fokinian, then you have Kamalacha, now you have this.
Yeah.
And yeah, not like, where do you...
Where is it exactly? Okay. So you're saying we're just with the structural... We know where it fits structurally. We don't have any better traction on it.
No, I guess I'm like, I don't really know. I have to look at Promise for a stop wall.
I'll send out a reading tonight.
No, I can have like motivation to look at like the Nesivos with my kids.
Yes, 100%. Except that the Nesivos wants to say that within Dina de Garmi.
Right, he wants to say both.
Exactly. I think we could say this even without Garmi. So even without being able to apply principles of tort liability, and even without going to the idea of Kinyan as... You know, having a schay of me'achsha b'schar mishalim, you have something in between.
But he's not really dinigar me either.
Well,
he's not really dinigar me either. He's very explicit about that. He's
correct.
Like, he's not the dinigar me.
Right, but he wants to read that into Tosa's position of dinigar me.
So that he thinks that, but either way, at the end of the day, like
100%. This might be the Nesivos' position.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree 1,000%. That's exactly what I'm getting at. Okay, now
it's possible that it really is meaning. Like a simpler, more naive idea that it really is the same basis of liability as post-Kinyan, and it's just that in cases where there's a davar avid involved, the gemuras das is stronger and substitutes for whatever Kinyan you would need.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's like one way of understanding promissory estoppel. It is that like when you rely on the promise to your detriment, that like that ups the whole relationship into a kind of a Kinyan relationship. That's what you're getting at, Yakir, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meaning that substitutes for the Gemuras Das and Maisa Kinyan that you would otherwise need. Yeah, I'll send out a reading on promissory estoppel, but there are like kind of two ways of understanding it. Some see it as a hechetimsi for jump-starting this like real Kinyan of Nischayev Bischaro Mishalem. Others view it as like the nexus of like Nezikin and like tort and contract. It's like really a principle of tort just to make sure that you're not going to lose money on the basis of this guy's promise, etc. So yeah, you're leaning in for the first view.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's possible. We have to see if there are makoros that really sustain that.
But right.
Right now we're just seeing that. Well, we'll see when we see more makoros, so we'll see how they appear to weigh in on this. Notice the rush.
Is there a reason to avoid the even more naive idea of just, there's an implicit tanai when you have a devar aved that you're taking responsibility for damages or something
good.
Like that?
Yeah, that is a view that we're going to see, actually.
Okay.
That it's, I think Rabbi Kivyeger thinks that some people have that view. Meaning it's just like, I'm assuming liability for whatever damages, whatever you're putting aside in order to rely on me. Right? So it's like
right.
A hischaivus. It's like it's kind of a hischaivus for Nezek.
Right. Yes, yeah.
So that's good. I mean, so there are actually three ways of formulating this middle ground. Yakir's way of phrasing it is, Davar Ha'aved is the Hechetimsi for jump-starting the Maisa Kinyan. Right? The Ramban's idea of Maisa Kinyan. It's interesting, because then, if you think of Yakir's paradigm, so we have a real Maisa Kinyan, we have Aschalas Malacha as a Kinyan Garua, and then we have something even weaker than that, which is, oh, no haschalas ha-malacha, but davar ha-avod is another way of jump-starting the Maisa Kinyan, right? So that's kind of the combination of what Yoni was saying with Yakir's point. A second formulation of this in-between ground is to say, like Yair is saying, maybe there's a conscious hischaivus on the employer side. You know, when he hires a worker, he's implicitly saying, don't worry, if you suffer anything by relying on me, I'll cover like your reliance damages, like whatever you suffered by relying on me. But as a kind of hischaivus, so it's kind of like a contractual principle, right? I willingly obligated myself. The third way of saying it is just that No. Like, in these kinds of cases, this kind of reliance triggers special dinim of nezikin, objectively, not via hischaivus, to make sure that people can't be harmed through relying on other people's promises. So it'd be like an artificial way of constructing tort liability, either for some economic reason, we don't want to make sure people don't suffer harm, or maybe even on more principled grounds that, you know, this is grama, or this is garmi, grama, but sometimes you're chayav for grama and garmi if there's a special relationship between you and the mazik. We saw, remember last year, sometimes a shutaf is sometimes chayav for garmi even though somebody else isn't. Or for a shutaf is sometimes chayav for grama even though a normal person is not chayav for grama. A shliach might be chayav for grama. So you might say here too, when there's contract negotiations, that's sufficient for there to be a special relationship between the parties, such that will hold one party liable for even grama, even though generally grama's pater. Okay? Good. So the three different ways of putting this middle ground, and hopefully we're going to try to flesh this out in the language of the Rishonim. Good. Yishkarach, everyone. That's good haras. On page 10, we have the Rush. The Rush, you should know, follows the Ramban, his distinction between Haschalas HaMalacha, pre-Haschalas HaMalacha, post-Haschalas HaMalacha, as whether there's a Kenyan or not. But in quoting the Tosus's position, in quoting the basis for liability pre-Kenyan, he doesn't say like the Ramban said, Davar HaAvud. He says, and you can see just the bold section in the Rush, Dekaimon Kramer, Dedoyin Dina Degarmi, Val Yado Nisbatu Kolayom. So in quoting the pre-Kenyan liability, he says Dina Degarmi like Tosos. Okay. The Meiri on Ayin Vav Mebez, you can see the Meiri speaks in the language of Davar HaAvod. Avedvar Meilu B'Shalom Matzu Melacha Shekimosa Lasos Shenimtzeis Chazaraso Davar HaAved Etzlam V'Chol Sheu Davar HaAved Alav L'Shalim. So you see the Meiri follows the Ramban's formulation that if the Balabayas backs out and the Polim can't find alternative work, then it's considered Davar HaAved. Okay?
Is his din that of the Ramban or that of Tosos?
I think his din is that of Tosos, actually.
Okay, so now we have all four positions.
That's right. I don't think he has a distinction between Kodem Shehochu Lachar Shehochu B'Toras Haschalas HaMalacha. I don't think he sees that. Yeah, I think he reads the Gemara as Tosos, that's all just a hechatimsi for whether they could find alternative employment.
Which is then really interesting, because then he doesn't necessarily seem to suggest, to believe in Hatchalas HaMalacha as a Kenyan.
That's right.
And yet, nonetheless, Davar HaAvod is a significant factor.
So it would clearly be a non-Kenyan principle.
Or it could be a Kenyan principle, you just don't think that Hatchalas HaMalacha counts as a Kenyan.
You're saying is we want to apply certain Kenyanian principles,
yeah, in terms
even
of
like, if we're totally far away from there being a Maisa Kenyan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I do think one thing that's elegant about the Meiri's framework is that it really, seeing everything in terms of Davar HaAved, but I guess you could say the same thing for Garmi, is that, you know, you have a unified theory really for mitigation. We made this point last Chabura, that obviously if you could mitigate, there just is no Davar HaAved. Right, the basis for liability is Davar HaAved, but if you could still find employment now, you clearly have, it's not a Davar HaAved, so there's no basis for liability whatsoever. Right, that's very clean on the Meiri's framework. The Shulchan Aruch, you'll notice, the bottom of page 10, Simen Shin Lama Gimel Beis. Aval im hayu niskarim emesh, v'achshav einam niskarim klal, harei zeke Davar HaAved lahem, v'nosin lahem scharim kepoal batel. You see that? So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, he uses the phrase Davar HaAved, which comes out of the Ramban. Okay, even though the Shulchan Aruch buys the Ramban's distinction, the Shulchan Aruch is against Tosos. Shulchan Aruch buys the Ramban's distinction between Haschalas HaMalacha as a Kenyan. So Shulchan Aruch is really just like a copy and paste from the Ramban's language. Okay. I just want to point out the Sma. I don't have some Mar Makomoshi, but Rabbi Kiviger makes a big deal about this. The Sma comments on this line in the Shulchan Aruch and says, oh yeah, it's because it's Garmi, it's Zina de Garmi. So the Sma seems to conflate Dina de Garmi with the Shulchan Aruch Stavra Avod. Rabbi Akiva Eiger goes nuts about this. He's very upset. So that we'll see in a few minutes.
So okay.
What?
So does Exodus and the Sivos.
Yeah.
They all contain the Sivos.
It's all just the same thing. Good. So let's take a closer look at the Garmi theory here. So who is the first one to criticize Tosis's Garmi theory?
Historically?
Yeah, I don't know. Historically, but at least the Marmakomashi. Well, yeah, the Ksos. The Ksos goes to town. Very good, Ben. The Ksos goes to town on Tosis's idea that you could be chayav for Dina de Garmi here. It's kind of interesting, right? I mean, the Ksos is like really taking on Tosis. Interesting observation. Okay, so why is he
confused about their later generations criticizing?
Yeah, the earlier generations.
Well, if I mean him,
it's his son. B'niya Bachar Amufla, right? So Ben, tell us about the Ketzos' criticism of Tosos. Why does he think that the basis of liability here cannot be Dina de Garmi? Yeah, but sorry, you see the section of B'niya Bachar Amufla?
Should I read it there?
Yeah. Right, so this is really last year's sugya. Bavakama sugya, Mevatel Kiso Shel Chavero Pater. So the idea is if I block, or V'chein HaNoel Chanuso Shel Chavero Pater. I lock Yair out of his store, so he can't do business. It's kind of a strange din, but the Yishami seems to say that I'm pater, because I didn't cause him a hefsid, I prevented revach, right? I prevented him from being able to gain. This is a very fuzzy distinction. I think there's a very important article waiting to be written about the halacha's distinction between minyas revach and hefsid. You know, how do you distinguish a cost from just a prevention of a gain?
Right.
I mean,
it seems like it hints at little things of like shevet here. Like,
yeah. Good.
That's
so
the same thing.
100%. So, but well, I mean, well, shevet is everyone's clearly assuming that's like a prevention of a gain or something. But it's not even clear just the way the Shulchan Aruch, the way the in general. So he's thinking. Think about our case.
Yeah.
So I hire you to come work for me, or I say come work for me, and then you, then I breach, and I say, I don't have any work for you, I'm not paying you, don't show up. So, I caused you to lose an opportunity, an employment opportunity elsewhere. Let's say Yoni was going to hire you, but for my inducing you to come work for me. So is that a cost? Was that a hefsid, or is that minyas revach? Without using the Ksosis formulation, just in your mind, if you had to intuit what exactly happened here, how would you conceptualize it?
Minyas Revach.
You think it's Minyas Revach?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Does everybody agree with Ben?
I mean, not like...
No.
I don't think like he has that he's going to lose.
Okay, that's clearly what the Ksosis is thinking, right?
Am
it's not like...
from working every single day of the year, if I just lost Minyas Revach and you
right.
go into starvation and, you know, not
you.
That's not
what I have
said.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It is very confusing how the postgame distinguish minyas revach from just straight up hefsid. Ben, I think, is saying what the Ksos is thinking, that hefsid is if somebody takes a bite out of your property.
This consistent throughout, like I'm saying, like dimei chol moed, for instance, or like
yeah.
or like yom teruah, whatever it is, like hefsid. Like when you talk about,
so
like
I'm
hefsid.
Saying the article is waiting to be written, so.
Or like anytime
it's like
Hefsid Meruba
or
whatever it is.
I think originally
right.
I would have
Hefsid Meruba might be different, but
well Hefsid Meruba could be like Minyas Revach Meruba,
right.
It's the same
order. So the Ksos is thinking that if I just prevent you from being employed today, then I just prevented you from making proceeds.
I think I would initially think of Minyas Revach as sort of a subset of Hefsid. I would think it's a sort of indirect
that's right.
type of Hefsid, but now if we're actually like formally distinguishing between the two.
Right, that's what the Ksos is borrowing. That's the paradigm the Ksos is working within. But I think even within the Ksos' paradigm, I think Yair and Yoni might have a counter-argument here. You guys, counter-argument? To not view the Poel case as minyas revach, but as a bona fide hefsid?
Well, I'd say especially in, especially in a context where you're hiring someone.
That's right.
So, like, you're clearly preventing him from working somewhere else. So, like, even if you think that, like, you generally, you know, locking someone into a room and preventing him from going to work that day is minyas revach and not hefsid, that's not the same thing as hiring them so you prevent them from going somewhere else, and then actually saying, like, actually, I'm not going to pay you.
So you want to say, so how would you conceptualize it then? You want to say it is a kind of hefsid?
Yeah, I say once you create a sort of understanding that you're going to be paying them instead of someone else, and then you, and when they had the chance to make the money otherwise, and then you take away that opportunity.
Yeah.
So then that's hefsid at that point. Like you create into hefsid.
You're saying baseline, the baseline for hefsid being like the promise that you made, or?
Yeah, the promise for... The promise at that point.
Okay. I would even go for a more modest formulation and say maybe the baseline is the norm. You know, so if like the norm is everybody hires themselves out and works for a day, then if you deprive somebody of like just making the baseline normal, then that's hefsid. If you prevent somebody from, you know, some extra gains, like that's out of the ordinary, that's more than normal, that's minyas revach.
Yeah, but your store is presumably normal. Going into your store to sell your wares, in the case of the Yerushalmi, presumably is normal.
No chanuso shel chaver, you want to say that...
Yeah, I'd have a hard time imagining it's my store, I go there to sell, and you block me out of my store. That, no, I was really looking for some exceptional kind of profit.
You're saying it's just the... You're saying the sugi itself wouldn't sustain that.
I mean, I'm jumping into a sugi I've never seen before, so, you know, yeah. Based on the very limited evidence I've
right.
So I have a hard time understanding.
I think we'd have to look deeper into the cases of Noah Chanuso, but I would say there's a way you could limit that case to being a case where you're just blocking the actual rev. 100%, right.
To get around it.
I'm saying in terms of conceptually speaking, if you wanted to, we're trying to figure out what's minyas revach and what's hefsid.
I agree with you in general. I think the ksot would disagree.
Oh, for sure, the ksot. The ksot is with Ben. The ksot thinks that hefsid is like
within like Yushalmi. Like I would, I think that if you don't pass like Yushalmi, so then you could make like a much broader. I think your argument more logical.
Yeah, but once we're constrained by the.
So then, like I think you have to argue that there is like something about. Fact that they have like a promise, some type of like a contract negotiation.
So it's not the norm, it's like based off the expectation that now is on the table, right?
Well, then the explicit like promise that the person
yeah.
made that.
The question is, you might, it's a promise quodem kinyan, so what value does that have?
Well, that's one of them. Enough value to now turn
yeah,
it into.
Maybe.
Which is what the Nasibos at the end talks about. Like,
yeah, we'll get at that in a second.
I would
yeah.
say that at least my position depends on how we defend here, minyas or how we define minyas or revach.
Yeah.
Here, meaning, is minyas revach like conceptually like just extending you know preventing gain, you said, or is it defined as a type of hefsid that's pajim?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't necessarily agree with the Yerushalmi that it should be exempt. Because to me it seems like it's still
yeah.
It is a type of hefsid, but it is. But I would distinguish it. Direct
hefsid. Interesting. So yeah, I don't have. I mean, it's too big of a sugya for us to look into right now.
Sure.
But these are questions we'd have to contend with. The ksos clearly assumes. Look, you could even say Ben go on. Im kain afilu matzu emesh le'stakir.
Again, afilu matzu emesh le'stakir. Vayom lo matzu nami ein bo mishum mazik kevan ze'ino alo kinyoal delas chanuso shalchaveira.
Right, so even if Yoni was going to hire you yesterday and you told Yoni no thanks because you thought you were going to come work for me, he thinks that's just Noel Delas Chanuso Shel Chavero. Just Minyas Revach. I blocked you from making an extra profit. I didn't like bite into the assets that you now have and cause you a hefsid.
Right. So I'm saying whether we contend with the assumption that even no,
yeah,
or not.
But he has the Yerushalmi on his side.
Right, no, yeah,
yeah. I'm saying even with the Yerushalmi, maybe there's a way of distinguishing minyas revach from hefsid differently. Right, that it's relative to what's normal. If everybody gets hired out for a day, and you deprive him from that, then that's hefsid, not minyas revach. And now you're saying, well, it's not so consistent with the language of the Yerushalmi, etc.
I'm sorry, I really don't understand the source's answer
Yes, let's get
his question.
Good, so let's get to his answer. So, Yair, tell us about his answer.
It looks like his answer...
He concedes the fundamental premise.
Right, that if it was... He concedes it with regard to Nisuke Mamon, but not to Nisuke Goof.
Exactly.
Apparently, preventing someone from doing work is Nisuke Goof and not Nisuke Mamon.
Exactly, which is the Chiddush.
Which is... I don't even know what it is.
It's Yesh Me'ayin.
Yeah.
So let's say...
But Tzitzis believes in that stuff. You're just like Dama.
Right, that's right. Lashitasa. But, you know, once you believe in that, you might as well just say that he should have distinguished the Minyas Revach and Hefsid my way. I mean, a better answer. And maybe he has separate reasons for not wanting to do it. Right. But, so the Ketosis answer is in a Hanami. So the Ketosis here, interestingly, says that my son is right. It just is Minyas Revach. But the exemption from Minyas Revach applies to Nisuke Mamon. Nisuke Mamon meaning damage that's caused to property. Right? But if it's damage caused to a person, then you're chayiv in Sheves. Right? Sheves being the lost wages that you suffer from not being able to work. And he thinks, well, it's just a chiddush that the Torah has in this kei adam, when a person gets harmed, that they're entitled to be compensated for even kinds of minyas revach. Right, that's the Ketosis' answer. Yeah, here's pointing out, well, it's a huge chiddush to construe bittul poalim as a kind of nizkei adam, nezek caused to persons. Is that right, Yair?
Yeah.
Right. Usually you think as nezek caused to a person, as I damage your arm. It's chavala, right? Chavala is it's injury to the physical person. But the Ketosis here actually has this chiddush that, Noel chanusa shel chavero is like nezek caused to property because I put a lock on the property, let's say. But breaching our agreement is nizke adam. Why? Because why exactly? It's not so clear. Right?
What I wanted to say in the episode was that when you're working in a store, the profit is generated by your wares, not by your work. And so it's Nisuke Mamon. You're depriving the wares of their ability to generate money. Who cares? But a poel is generating money through his labor, through his work, and I'm... harming your body's ability to generate money for you.
That's interesting. Yeah. So you're saying it's the... it depends Marxist. On... Yeah, what's generating the labor? What's generating the value here? And you're saying if the goof is what generates the labor, then it's nizkei adam.
That's how I'm construing it. Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Right, and that's... He has in the next paragraph, but if it's your behemoth that's generating money, it's not nizkei goof.
Right,
because,
right.
Yeah,
super interesting. What do you guys think of your suggestion, or just generally, what do you think of the Ketosis? Let's see if we have. What do you think of the Ketosis chiddush here that bittul schiras poalim would be a kind of niske adam?
It's like very. I think your thing makes sense like within the Ketosis, but it then becomes like half of poal. It depends on what type of work you're doing.
Right after the next paragraph.
Sometimes if you're a poal.
Right.
So yeah, you'd be like a hand, you'd be like a worker in the farm, and like, yeah, that's your hands, but like, you could also be a guy on a computer, and then are you doing something, or is it the computer screen, doing something.
I see, he gives the examples of...
Which poem we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. So, you're saying, he thinks that if it's the chamarim, then maybe it's the behema.
Which is crazy, because the chamarim are being led by...
Right, and chamarim are considered like... Typical poem,
right?
Yeah. For the purposes of our.
So you're an Uber driver. Who's doing the malacha? The car or the.
Or the
worker.
The technology company, according to their lawyers.
Right. Oh, and then you have a really tough time because you have a guy who's like plowing a field or digging or something with a shovel. Like, is the shovel generating value?
Yeah, you have a drill,
an electric drill,
right? A crane, an operator. Yeah, Gabe and Yakir, you guys have thoughts on this? Yakir?
distinction. I'm not sure there's, I can't think of any other way to make sense of the ktsos.
Right, but you definitely think it's a mechudash ktsos to distinguish between Mamon and Adam this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gabe, you have a thought on this? Gabe's muted. All right. Gabe, if you pop back in and you have thoughts on this, let us know. Oh, Gabe's back.
I don't have any thoughts at the moment.
Okay. You agree with Yair's distinction?
Yeah, I think it's a good
one. Okay. Good. Okay, so the ktsos himself, so he has an answer on the table. Why does he walk back from this answer?
Because there was no garmit in Shabbos.
Yeah, there's no Shabbos in garmit. He says, you know, this distinction is tenable if we're dealing with direct nezek, because in direct nezek and ba'adam, you could be chayiv Shabbos. He says, but it's too much of a stretch to think that you're chayiv for Shabbos, which is how you'd get liability for Minyas Rebach, for just garmi. And he cites the Ramaz as holding this view. And so he ends up saying, yeah, it's taka problem. Right? He thinks that he agrees with his son's question, how do you get garmi liability for Minyas Rebach? It kind of leaves a pitzarachim. And he says, oh, but the there's a Chu of the Merami Rutenberg who seems to hold the same thing, meaning against Tosvos, that there is no liability in damages whatsoever for being Chozer. It's a big Chiddush. Right? The Gemara said, remember, the Gemara said that if Hitu says, Ein lehem zel zel taromas, Bamed varamurim, Bishalo holchu. But holchu, Chayav litein tzcharan mishalim. Right? But the ktsos quotes the Marami Rutenberg as holding that no. There is no nezek liability for breaching agreements. Let's read the ktsos. Let's read the ktsos' quotation of the Maram. Ben, you want to shuv matzasi?
Yeah, sure.
Shuv
matzasi
be shuv
asi Maram be rabarach da fus.
Fus Prague, yeah.
What is it?
It's just first Prague, the Prague edition of the Chuvas Maram.
Right, okay. Din ha de daiminam.
Vizel Lashono.
Yeah. Din ha de daiminam. Dino de garmi a hainu be makum shemavsi chavira ode gramatel. Aval makom shehaya chol harbia vigorim lo be gramatel sheino marbiach pater.
Yeah, so it's the distinction that the son quoted between mafsid, where you're chayav in garmi, and simply enomar viach, for which you're pater, right? Ben?
Yeah,
you're done. Yeah, and this is what's important. What does the Maram cite as an application or a paradigm of this idea that you're not chayiv for gramas minyas revach?
That there's only a taromas?
Yeah, in which case, kiditznan.
He
cites our Mishnah.
Right.
Right. You see that Grumma from Minyas Hefsid is Pater because backing out of agreements is not Chai of any liability, it's only Taromas.
Right.
It's very interesting, right? It's against Tosos. Tosos' whole point is that in a case of Lachar Sheholchu, that's when there's Hefsid, so you will be Chai for Garmi. Maram seems to be disagreeing with that. He's saying, no, the paradigm here is that you're not liable. How does he read? Oh, here, look how the ktsos sums up the Maram. Mavur desir le the Maram. Ben, mavur desir le the Maram.
Yeah, I was looking at yours. You just
need to
scroll down a little, but I can look
at
the other one.
I'll just read it. Mavur desir le the Maram. The gavi polim afilu matzu emesh makom leistaker by yom lo matzu pater. Umishum de eno hezek el minyas revach. Even if yesterday they would have been able to hire themselves out and they lost employment opportunities based on my promise, still they're not liable. Still I'm not liable. Okay. How could that be? What do you guys think?
I mean, what does the Maran do with the example in the Gemara of Halko Halko?
Yeah.
Pick a Ramban approach. It's just that's when the contract starts.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point, right? I think you got to say here that the Maran reads the Kinyan, the Hezchilu line, almost as a Kinyan. He's got to read it like the Ramban, that it's talking about collection b'toras Kinyan, right? Can't be collection b'toras Nezikin, because he thinks it's just Minyas Revach. I think Yoni's right. 100%. The Maram's got to read that line like the Ramban. Different basis for liability, a non-Nezek basis for liability. Now, the Ketos...
Unless you think that the Maram would say some type of version that when they start working, so at that point it becomes Hefzed and not Revach. Beforehand, just Revach.
Yeah, why would that be, though?
It's like something we were saying before a little bit, maybe, that like once you...
Could you say that without coming into a Kenyan view? Unless you want to take a takana, like the...
But one, because you started working on it already, so it became like...
It's yours? But that's the Ramban's view already. Like, once you start working, then it's yours to lose.
Yeah, I think about it.
Right? Yeah, I like the suggestion. We have to see if it pans out. Look at the Ketzos. Venira de Mehai Taima. Yeah, you want to read that for us?
Sure. Venira de Mehai Taima, Gam Shulchan Aruch Lo Atiyala, Mishum Dina de Garmei.
So notice the Shulchan Aruch dropped the language of Garmi that Tosos had, and what does the Shulchan Aruch say?
Use the Rahava language.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't fully appreciate this line earlier, but I think, you know, he's saying, oh yeah, there can't be liability under Garmi, the liability's got to be under something else, Davar Avod. So I guess you see implicitly that Ketzos actually does think that there's an important conceptual difference between liability under tort Garmi and non-tort liability under Davar Avod, but he doesn't tell us what liability under Davar Avod is. Notice, right?
Right.
It's quite striking. Okay.
Ketzos in the beginning seems to assume that Garmi means Garmi, literally. That was like always the question.
Davar Avod is Garmi.
Davar Avod means yeah. Garmi, yeah.
But notice now he's cutting anchor. He's saying it's different. And then he says, look what he says about Davar Avod in the Gam Bezen Nira Kedivei Moharam. And we show him the Davar Avod Lo Matzino Lehecha Dekvar Eschilu B'Mlacha. So you see that in this part the Ketzos seems to be saying that the Maram only holds of liability lacharas chalas malacha bitoras kinyan shekonin bo aschiros, right? So he thinks that davar ha'avod is somehow related to La'achar Kinyan. Not clear how that's supposed to hang together. I would have said they're actually three separate things, right? There's Ramban's La'achar Kinyan. There's Davar Avod, which is a non-tort basis for something. And then there's, you know, the Garmi, which is torts. The Ketzos here seems to be conflating Davar Avod with post-Kinyan. Now, it's not clear, is he just trying to say that it only applies post-Kinyan? Or is he saying that it works bitoras, the mechanisms of Kinyanim? I'm not sure about that. Okay.
I mean, well, so far that just looks exactly like the Ramban to me.
You think it's the Ramban?
Ramban. Yeah. Before the Chalas Malacha, there's no Kinyan, there's only Garmei, and that's a Tosfot, you know, that's like a Tosfot-esque kind of thing. And then after the Kinyan, there's the Rahavot issues.
But I'm saying for the Ramban, I would say that there's liability after a kinyan, even without davar avod, because the poel owns the contract.
Is that how the Ramban formulates it? Let's look again.
Yeah, nischayev lase scharan mishalem. Right? It's like the poel now owns the value of the agreement. As opposed to this, which is like some sort of hybrid, it's like, oh, once there's a kinyan, then you could become liable for davar avod. Unless davar avod is just a code phrase for an inability to mitigate. Does anybody see the problem?
Yeah, can you go over again? I'm not following what you're...
The problem here? Yeah, I'm just saying it's strange to me that he seems to conflate davar avod with the haskala samalacha kinyan issue.
Well, we just said that within Maram.
No, because the Maram might not even be talking about davar avod. I mean, the Maram...
I believe in my Maram.
Exactly. Oh, okay. It's not a relevant category, because the principle, he just reads Holchu as the Ramban principle. Remember, the Ramban was distinguished between davar ha'aved and post-Kinyan. The Ramban said pre-Kinyan...
You need a davar ha'aved.
You need davar ha'aved. Post-Kinyan, it's no sin lo schar mishalim. The Ketzos is now reading the Maram as holding that there's liability post-Kinyan for davar ha'aved. Right, so it's kind of an in-between view. That real kinyan, haskalas hamalacha as a kinyan, is sufficient to trigger liability for davar avod. Some sort of mixing of the two. So it's somewhere in between. Okay, let me just get out the... We're going to stop 1 minute. Let's get the nesivis out here. And then... The Nesivis agrees with the Ketzos that there's no liability. Dina de Garmi is not sufficient to explain the basis for liability here. But he thinks there's an easier way of explaining it. So what does he say? That's right. The liability in our suga is just a takanas chazal. Right? So he says two things. Look at the v'al karchach hu mitzad takanas chazal. The first thing he says is that liability here is a special takana. So I would say that sounds like some sort of economic consideration. Chazal wanted to deter people from breaking out of contracts, so they imposed this kind of liability. You have to figure out exactly why they would impose the liability, but takanas chazal. Oh, she'amdu chazal daitan she'bekach mechayven atzman zelzeh lahashlem ahezek akadei scharan. Or it's an umdin hadas, this is exactly what Yair said earlier, that when people enter into agreements around davar ha'aved, there's an implicit condition that one party agrees to make up any damage that the other party is going to suffer via breach of the agreement. See that? Umdin Amdu Chazal Daitan Shebekach Mechayven Atzman Zelaze LaHashlem HaHezek Akedei Scharan. So it's a voluntary acceptance of liability that would arise from breach. Okay. He has an interesting raya here that it's got to be Takanas Chazal because this only applies to service agreements. Doesn't seem to apply to Mekach U'Memkar. Problematic assumption.
It's also weird that it wouldn't constitute a din d'oraita, right? That's like his...
At all, this is just takana.
Right. No, but if it's an umdana, it still thinks. Contracts,
Well,
we're analyzing your dot and right. Determining what you meant, and that should be binding on it,
right? Yeah, it is interesting. You're saying... He says two things. Mitzad takanas chazal.
Right, which
Or amdu chazal.
Right.
Now, is the last thing also a takana, or is that an umdana of a chazal... trying to interpret whether there is deraisa liability. But then in the next sentence, he slips back into teida de takanas chachamim hi. So is he just trying to... Is that consistent with both of the theories he just put forth? Or is he trying to prove that it's got to be the first disjunct of the theories? Right? Because you're saying if it's the second, it could still be deraisa. If it's an umdana hadas.
Right, meaning it would still address the question. Like, it would suffice to answer why it's not, a garmei issue.
Yeah.
But just the, being like makban on this formulation that it's like a chazal thing is...
strange. Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, so we have to try to make better sense of this. But then he says he thinks that even when Tosos explicitly appeals to Garmi, no, he thinks that they're not really intending to talk about Garmi. Right? What they really have intention to talk about is this kind of loose Takanas Chazal. Right? So he wants to lav dafka even Tosos' own position and say, oh, there's just some sort of Takana that's going on here. But it's not tort liability Me'ikra Adin. So you have to stop here. Let me just...
Well, his ending also is very interesting.
Yeah, like, tell us about his ending.
Because the ending says, Elevad and Ein Zeh B'Din Shevet, right? He says, but then he says, what is Rakhavanata? Right, so like the first, toward the end of the first line again. Rakhavanam kem sh'tikim chazal v'davar ha'avet chayav ki'ilu midiku v'yadayin.
Yeah.
Im ken hachanami kevin v'gard lehem hezek v'davar ha'avet lehem ein achalak in po'al shechoz v'davar ha'avet v'al v'ayit ha'chozer.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Effectively,
there's got to be symmetry.
Right, so but effectively what he's saying is that the kind of the chazal, what chazal's takana was that instead of being grumma, now it's being defined as mazik since they started something, since they agreed or since they something. That was the kind of chazal.
Yeah, which is really interesting. Why would chazal up this from no liability mikra din to like really intense liability of kilu eziko biadayim, right? So that's one. You're right. He's shedding some light on the nature of the takan of davar ave. He doesn't tell us exactly what it is. He does not tell us exactly what it is yet.
Yeah.
And we have to try to figure out what's this kind of economic incentive that chazal.
It's not davar ave at this point at all. It's just garmi. It's just saying
David davar ave chayev kilu maziko biadayim.
Or it's mazik.
Yeah.
Garmi,
right. So we have to figure that out. So we have to stop here. But I want us to consider other bases for liability and what Davar Ha'aved might be grounded in, what the idea is. You'll see if you take a look at the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he's the Baal HaShita here to try to disentangle. The Makoros here on page 13, 14, and 15 really try to disentangle the different grounds of liability of Davar Ha'aved versus Garmi.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll pick up at that. I'll send out some more articles to help us round out our view here. Next week we'll be off. We'll pick up the week after. Okay, I'll email out the schedule on what exactly to focus on. All right, shkoyach, everyone.